brought to you by Penguin.
Argyle by Ellie Conway. Read by Dakota Blue Richards. For Mom and Dad, who have been beside me every step of the way. Sometimes it is necessary to be lonely in order to prove that you are right. Attributed to Vladimir Putin. The women laughed and wept. The crowd stamped their feet enthusiastically. For at that moment, Quasimodo was really beautiful. He was handsome. This orphan. This foundling. This outcast. Victor Hugo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. The Amber Room represents to Russians many of the things we have lost. Ivan Sautov, director of the Catherine Palace Museum, quoted in Forbes Life magazine, Mysteries of the Amber Room, 29th of March, 2004. Author's note for new edition. Some years ago, I suffered a terrible accident that completely shattered my life. While I was recuperating and feeling sorry for myself, my parents would bring me movies and books to try to ignite my interest in something, anything, that wasn't about me and this terrible thing that had happened to me. One particular morning, my mother turned up with a book of photographs of beautiful landscapes. One of them was of a mountain range in southern Poland. It meant nothing to me, but as I looked at it, I felt a tug of something. And that night, Aubrey Argyle came to me, fully formed, in a febrile dream, with his Nehru jacket and flat-top hair, and buried sadnesses, and his need to put right what the world keeps getting wrong. When I woke up, he was in my head as if he'd walked right in the door and kicked off his shoes and made himself at home. I know writers roll their eyes when other writers say the book wrote itself, but this one really did. Please don't hate me, guys. And in writing it, I gained a new purpose. And from that point on, I began to heal. So I need to say thank you. To whoever took that photograph, to my parents, and most of all, to Aubrey Argyle, for bringing me back to myself and reminding me that sometimes the tools we need to fix ourselves are inside us the whole time. Ellie Conway, 2023. Prologue. There are few places on Earth more desolate than southeastern Siberia at dawn on a bitingly cold March morning. The spiky pine forests of the taiga carpet the ground like a bed of green nails. Here there is no birdsong to pierce the minus 25 degree air, only the whip of the wind and the plaintive howl of a distant wolf. But a sound breaks the dead silence, a soft rumble growing louder. And now something appears, glinting in the early morning sun. A high-speed train, its pointed nose spearing a path through the freezing air, plunging relentlessly onwards as the thick forest gives way to swampy lowlands and windswept tundra. In the standard carriages, people lie on narrow berths, their faces to the wall, sleeping off last night's vodka, or else sit huddled on the bottom bunks eating pirashki, watching the scenery through the smeared and grimy windows. But at the rear of the silver streak, there is something quite different. A carriage of gold, bearing the initials VF and IF, intertwined in imperial purple. The real-life VF and IF, otherwise known as Vasily and Irina Fedorov, are very much not intertwined. In fact, it would be hard to imagine two people sharing so confined a space in a more separate manner. Irina sits in a high-backed armchair, which is really more of a throne than a chair, her left foot soaking in a porcelain bowl full of rose oil, with petals floating on the surface, while a pinafore-clad woman kneels on the floor, vigorously scrubbing the sole of her right foot with seaweed picked up fresh from the port in Vladivostok before the train departed. Irina has a magazine in her hands, through which she flicks uninterestedly. The train will take six...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?